Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help men, women, and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, I'm joined by Stacy Fitzgerald, who shares her profound journey through betrayal trauma and her path to healing. Stacy opens up about the resurfacing of her trauma in 2021, describing intense physical symptoms like panic attacks and a racing heart. She emphasizes the importance of feeling safe and regulating the nervous system. Stacy's healing process involves spiritual, emotional, and physical approaches, including prayer, music, and understanding the mind-body connection. Now she helps other women navigate similar experiences through her platform, Becoming Safe. To learn more about Stacy and her resources, visit becomingsafe.com. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org or check out the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And dear friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening because, believe it or not, this really does help others to find it. Now let's join the conversation with Stacy. Well, all right, Stacy Fitzgerald, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jonathan, for having me. Really, really grateful to be here.
Yeah, I was so excited and grateful that a mutual friend of ours, Reese Crane, reached out and made the connection. He says, hey, I think you need to meet this person because she's got a pretty amazing story and she's doing some great things for women who are experiencing betrayal trauma. And so I appreciate Reese for making that connection. And yes. With that, I'd love for you to just be able to maybe tell us your story and kind of what got you to the point of some of the things that you're doing now. And then we're going to dive into this conversation around what does it mean to be safe and this whole idea of becoming safe on the healing journey.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And I'm grateful to Reese as well. And actually, he and his wife kind of pop in and out of my story as well. So I'll jump in with that short version and I'll start a little bit at the back end. So in the winter of 2021, I have what I call a resurfacing of trauma. And that was about 10 years out of my marriage where there was betrayal. And obviously with that comment, that marriage did end in a divorce after 20 years. So when this kind of trauma came up, and at this time I was really not aware of that word trauma. I mean, I heard it, of course, but not in the context that I now know and have kind of just dug really into. So I started to sort of wrestle in prayer, like, what is going on with me? And to clarify the resurfacing, I started having massive panic attacks. And I was in Colorado, which is where I grew up, staying in the home of my mom and stepdad, which is where I lived when I got married at the age of 16. So I'm sort of hitting the bookends of this story. Sorry, at the age of 18, met my husband at the age of 16, married at 18. And I was there for my oldest daughter's wedding. So a lot of those of you that are familiar with trauma would say, oh gosh, a whole lot of triggers going on. And I see it in retrospect. And I couldn't sleep. My heart rate was through the roof. I was feeling like I was under threat constantly. And I thought, what is wrong with me? And as I've talked to women now, healing from a lot of these things, it's a common question. What's wrong with me? Am I crazy? And I started just in prayer saying that, what's wrong with me? And I felt like the Holy Spirit just started to walk me through some stories in my life. And I share these with women in the healing platform, Becoming Safe, that we're going to talk about. But what he showed me first was a trauma that I almost lost my life in a horse accident. And that was an obvious trauma. Most people would say, you know, I've never told that story and had anybody say, gee, that's not a big deal. So don't have time to get into that one, but it is a pretty intense story. And as he walked me back through my marriage that had ongoing betrayal and there was pornography use in that marriage. And I thought, yeah, I've already dealt with this. I've gone to counseling. I've healed. I'm remarried. At that time, I had been remarried for, 8 years, I believe. And wonderful, healed, lovely, supportive marriage. Great story there. We had been childhood sweethearts, a lot of reconnection. And I thought, why now? Why? I've dealt with this. Well, what I didn't realize is that I hadn't dealt with all of the pain that I had pressed down into my body. I had dealt with it here. I had studied books. I'd taken courses. I'd done all the work. But what was coming out in my body. And so that story goes back to I did know that my ex-husband had a pornography issue before we were married. But we were Christians in youth leadership and college group leadership, trying to be, you know, good kids and save ourselves until marriage. And so in my mind, well, once we're married and we can have sex, this issue will go away. And I did not understand his attachment wounds. I did not understand how sexual addiction works. And that's his story. But in my story, what happened was very soon after we were married, and again, I was really young, that issue started coming out over and over. And what that day, as I was wrestling through that winter of 2021 and the Holy Spirit was showing me this, he showed me a specific, I would probably call now a disclosure or a discovery, that I'm learning these words in the models that I'm now backtracking with. And it was like, I saw it as a knife in my gut, that this 18-year-old girl all of a sudden went, I'm not enough. I didn't fix the problem that he had. And so the hopes and dreams, which is kind of what happens in trauma when we have a shattering of what we thought life was going to look like, and especially when you're young and pretty naive, and immediately that is shattered. Oh my. And now I'm stuck, was sort of the feeling inside of me, because I had made this lifelong commitment, but I really didn't understand. So that progressed and on and off. And the interesting thing is I would often find out that he was regressing or reusing in dreams. I would have very disturbing dreams. That's how I found out about the issue before we were married too. I had a very disturbing dream and went to him and he told me what he was struggling with. And that would happen in our marriage. I'll wrap it up as the short part of it. But as that resurfaced and I'm already out of the marriage, I began to see that if I didn't address what the wounds that had happened in me, and trauma is, I believe it comes from a Greek word that means wound. So if I hadn't addressed those wounds, they had been festering and I needed to heal the wounds that were in me. And so that's how the short version of that story brought me to where I am now and to the work that I am doing. And our friend Reese popped in there because that day or within a couple of days when I was having that episode in Colorado, I reached out to several friends and he was one of them because I knew the work that he did and his wife in this area. And they were able to point me to some great resources, yours and the Wives Care being part of that too.
Yeah. So I want to ask a question because you said it a couple of times, because I think it's worth exploring a little bit. You said that, you know, this kind of triggering moment in 2021 where these wounds were kind of bubbling back up and resurfacing. Mm-hmm. And it's as if God was saying, hey, we've got more work to do here. There's more things for you to understand. You said that it was manifesting in your body.
Yes.
Can you share more about what did that look like? What did that feel like? What was actually going on? Because I'm almost certain we're going to have a lot of listeners, a lot of women out there that are going to go, tell me more about that, because I'm having things that I'm feeling in my body that I don't know if is this something that I go to my physician for? Or is there something, is there more going on there?
Yeah. Yeah. The symptoms that were coming up were panic attacks. And specifically what that would be was my heart rate for no reason would all of a sudden just start going and it would not regulate. I could be walking along and it was just pounding. And my stepdad had a one of those little finger things. I should know the name of it. Mm-hmm. And I would test my pulse rate and it was like in the low 100s, 120, 125, just resting, which is double where my heart rate normally was. So obviously all these hormones are racing through my body. I would have these sensations of tunnel vision, like the world around me was like a fog and I couldn't quite see my way. I couldn't think clearly, simple things. Driving somewhere, again, here's the town I grew up in, driving to go get coffee with my daughter. And I just was like, where do I turn? I don't know where the turns are. So brain fog, sleeping at night. When I would try to go to sleep, this is what it felt like to me. Like I've seen the paddles get put on people when they've had a heart attack. I would start to fall asleep and then boom, this adrenaline would surge through me. My heart would start racing. I would shake. My husband was there with me, Joel, and he would pray with me through the night. That's what got me through the night and being able to sleep. So those were some of the physical pieces that were that were showing up at that time. And the thought in my head is, I'm going crazy. It was more, even though the symptoms were showing up in my body, and maybe because I'm a nutritionist and eat very healthy, I didn't have this thought like, am I having a heart attack or am I sick? I felt like I was crazy, and I was pretty sure it was some sort of mental imbalance. So that's how it presented for me. And when I talk to women now, that thought, when I say to them, you know, you're not crazy, and I tell them my symptoms, I see this kind of, oh, like, okay, this is not just me. I thought, and we tend to isolate, right? When we think that way, like, I can't tell anybody else what's going on here because they'll think I'm nuts. You know, they'll think, what's wrong with you? Or, you know, pull it together. Life's not that bad. This is not that difficult. You know, smile. Yeah.
So now, not to go too far down a rabbit trail here, but I am also thinking about, well, how then did you go from having these physical symptoms to realizing that it wasn't necessarily something that was sourced in your body? Meaning like, because mm-hmm. here's the thing. I mean, anybody that would come to me and say, hey, here's these physical symptoms I'm having, I would first say, go see your doctor. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Now, there's a number of different diagnoses that a doctor could make based on those symptoms and may still end up scratching his head at the end of the day going, I don't really know what's causing this. And maybe that's what some listeners need to hear. If you've gone to your doctor and mm-hmm. they go, I can't really find the reason why your heart rate's jumping up or why these kinds of things. How did you eventually come to the point of realizing this thing is both manifesting physically, but it's connecting to something that's on a much deeper level?
Yeah, you use the word that explains it, and it's the word both, because we can say, okay, where is it sourced? Is it starting in my body and that's what's making me feel crazy in my head? Or is it starting in my head? Am I ruminating about things, which is causing my body to react? And at that time, I was not. And that's what surprised me when I was sitting there with the Lord in prayer was, I'm okay in my head. I've processed this. I'm not even thinking about it on a cognitive level. So what I found when I dug in and how I found regulation, which is the key. I started to dig in again. I kind of jumped to my head, which is my MO. I just go right in and I started reading websites. I started listening to podcasts. I started watching YouTube videos and going, oh, this is my nervous system. This is what's happening. My nervous system is really dysregulated. Why? I'm a why asker. Why is it doing this and what's happening? And at the same time, just dealing with the physical side of it. So on just that physical side, I had to do some things, go for walks, my husband's help comforting me, praying with me. Eventually, when I got back home after that trip, I took some nutritional supplements. I learned about GABA, which is a neurotransmitter, kind of the brakes on your brain, whereas serotonin is sort of the gas pedal. That really helped me to just slow down some of the mental processes that were going on. And to separate that mental process is physical as well. The brain was putting out neurotransmitters and chemicals and hormones being released in my body. And we've got the vagus nerve that connects this brain with this brain down here. So as a nutritionist, I started looking at anatomy and looking at all of the aspects. So again, what you said, both and all of it, it's not either or. It's not, is this a mental issue that I just need to get my thoughts right and straighten this out in my head? Or is this a physical issue where I need a doctor, or I need supplements? The answer was yes. It was all of these things. And that is where I felt the Holy Spirit led me was the forgotten piece for me was the body. I had done more work in my mind than my body.
Well, and you just mentioned the third piece, which is the spiritual, right? So there's, I tend to think that we're triune in the same way that our God is triune, that we are made up of the physical, the emotional, which is the soul, and then the spiritual. So I kind of think if you don't address all of it, then you're going to be missing out. Now tell us then how you went from kind of what happened through your own personal journey of visiting these mm-hmm. wounds and addressing them in all of these ways, physical, emotional, spiritual, and how that led to what you're doing now and specifically around this concept of safety. Why is that such a big word for your healing and then also what you try to do in helping women heal?
Yeah. Well, that word safe popped up pretty quick in my studies, and I had never really thought about it. And it was really in context with this whole concept of the nervous system and regulating our nervous system. And I thought, have I ever felt safe? Have I ever felt really just relaxed? Calm and alert is the words I use now. Have I felt that? And I had a very hard time finding that in my life. And I realized that I had been functioning not just in this particular story of betrayal, but in a lot of areas of my life in a very dysregulated nervous system. And as a songwriter, I began to see that, and singer, I had been writing songs about this. And that was had been part of my processing and even my regulation of bringing, it was like a conversation going on inside of me and coming out in a song. And these pieces started to come together as I was doing some more mental studying. And as you said, that three parts, I 100% agree. I think of myself, spirit, soul, and body, and I love mental pictures. So what I began to discover and how it all came together, because I just tend to dive in and it's like a table covered with all kinds of ingredients. And I just made a big old sandwich and, and dug in, was that my spiritual side was my connection with the Creator. And that though I had always been very connected to Him and I dig into scripture and study and written blogs, that stillness, be still and know. And I love the Hebrew language. And I really started to just pull apart a lot of scriptures in Hebrew. And that be still and know, the word for know in Hebrew comes from the root da'at, which is the word for intimacy. Be still, which means relax and sink in. So right there, it's not just, there's two kinds of stillness, right? Mm-hmm. This kind of stillness was like a frozen, and as we understand the nervous system, we don't want to go there. But the stillness that word in Hebrew means is to sink in and relax, and then to know, be intimate with me. And I realized I was living a hurry up, more kind of a life, really good stuff. So I began to do that practice in my spiritual connection. And then I began to see the soul, and I sort of labeled it as our mind, will, and emotions, which a lot of people label things differently, but that seems pretty common. Our mind being our thoughts, our will, our choices, and our emotions, our feelings. And to me, that's where the work takes place. Mm-hmm. This connection is sort of that be still and know. And then here was that work of, can I bring some balance in that area? And that resides inside my body. We are the temple. Well,
and I love the fact that you talk about the soul being really where a lot of that healing work goes on, because isn't that where we carry the wounds like you said, the soul is contained in our body. But can you talk a little bit more about what that work of healing looked like for you in the soul? And specifically, you mentioned it a couple of places here, specifically how certain elements like music and songwriting and nature and horses, and even what you learned as a nutritionist. Can you tell us how you brought, how God really brought all those things together in your life for the healing, and why you even see that as important avenues in the work that you do with women today?
Yeah. Well, the songwriting, I really started to see that I had been talking to myself and having a conversation with the Lord and having a conversation with myself, trying to make sense of what was going on in my life. So I began to listen to my own songs that I'd been writing and really pulling them apart, going, oh my gosh, I've got a lot of innate wisdom going on here. That Holy Spirit was speaking in me and through me. And then I began writing more. So that's kind of the songwriting was sort of putting to words. And songs are so amazing because I could tell you what a song says, but if I sing it to you, you're going to hear the melody. You're going to hear how the instruments come in. You're going to feel it. And I think that's what songs do for us, that maybe, like you said, talk therapy can be great. But when you can feel something, a song can help regulate you, even the key that it's in or the tempo that you're using. So that's where I saw the songs. As a horse trainer, my horse training had been sort of progressing through the years, coming from traditional training to natural horsemanship to positive reinforcement to understanding the nervous system of a horse. And a horse is a flight animal. They will rarely fight unless they're cornered. They are very easily brought up into that stress response. And so as I trained, I began to focus completely on the nervous system of the horse. If I could keep them in that calm alert, which I call 4 to 7 on a 10-point scale, if I could keep them there by them feeling safe, and there's that word, with me and in their environment, they would learn. And the connection started being made going, oh, that as I looked at my horse, I began to see my own nervous system and what was happening in me and in the wounds of other women. And I thought, these horses could teach us all if we could look from the perspective of standing back, right? Sometimes it's hard to see. Let me turn that little ding off. I think that came from me. Sometimes if we can see what's happening in us, outside of us, in a mental picture, or wow, a giant horse in front of me doing something that I go, I do that same thing, you know, all of a sudden horse might be going along fine. And all of a sudden something scares them and they're frozen. And I'm like, oh, they're in the freeze response, you know, and then the stress response, they're zooming around, whinnying, calling for their friends. So I began to have a picture of that. And then my own story, just connecting all those dots and even the nutritional side of me, I started putting the pieces together. And that, as you said, the Holy Spirit, the Lord really was the one doing that, showing me that all these things really could come together, not only for my own healing, which had to happen first, but to help other women. And that was where I started saying, how can I share this? How can I share these songs, the stories that are behind them, and then these tools that I was learning from books, podcasts, YouTube sites that were calming my body, bringing that regulation, simply teaching me even how to breathe. I realized that I had been holding my breath, shoulders up tight, just learning some physical things, some somatic exercises, which are just body exercises to bring a sense of calm, just like I did with the horses, you know, beginning to do that with myself. And then finding a way to say, people don't really buy CDs anymore. Back on the wall there, I have CDs from years and years ago that I recorded, and people just don't even have CD players. And I thought, how do I get this music out there? And that's kind of how this Becoming Safe developed, to be able to share the music, the stories, and the tools all in one place.
Yeah. I saw those CDs on your wall back there, and I thought, one of the thoughts that ran through my mind is, I said, I feel sorry for kids nowadays. They just don't get the experience of holding the music in their hands, like I'm going to open this thing up that contains this music. Now it's like, I'm going to push a button on my phone and be able to, anyway, that's right. For another conversation. But, you know, one of the things that you're saying there, as you're talking about the songwriting and the horse training and the nutrition, is, I've been reading through Psalm 119 lately. And one of the places in there, it talks about how essentially God has made everything. And it says that everything is a servant of God, meaning the whole creation, that yes. Everything is a servant. And when I think about that in terms of what you're talking about, in terms of all the aspects of creation that God used as part of your healing, I mean, music is part of creation. I mean, horses are part of creation. Nutrition, like food, is part of creation. And can you talk for a little bit about women who feel like they've been either told or they've believed that there is a singular avenue or lane to their healing, not realizing that there may be a whole lot more of what God has put in creation that could be part of drawing them out to these particular aspects of the wounds that they need healing?
Yeah, I love that. And actually, I'll tie in what was one of my setbacks to healing while I was in my first marriage, where the betrayal was. And I, we've probably heard this term before, but like a religious or spiritual bypass, because that sometimes becomes the one lane for those of us that have a spiritual connection and have a faith, is that we are like, okay, I just need to read more scripture or pray more. And I just need to straighten my mind out and not think bad thoughts. And I need to do this and I need to do that. And we neglect these other aspects. And what particularly back in the 90s, when I was first going through this and was very quiet and protective. And again, that was even part of that religious community, mm-hmm. was I don't want to soil the reputation of my husband or of our relationship, because I'm sure this will fix this. And I don't want anyone to know anything bad. We were in ministry. He became a pastor at one point. And that's where we were at towards the end of our marriage. So there was so much that I was trying to hold together So that, like you said, that one lane that we can feel really stuck because we get in this like, what is the right answer here? And what I found that was the most helpful to me was to separate the stories out. And there comes in all these other elements. And I love that you brought in nature. And let me circle back to that first by saying, what do I mean by separating out those stories? Is that one of the beliefs that comes in, came in my mind and so many women that I've talked to, is that somehow if I am better, I'm a better wife, I'm more beautiful, I change the way I look or act, that it will help fix this problem that my husband is having. And our stories intersect. But when I began to pull them apart and say, his story is his story and mine is mine, and I need to become whole. And what he chooses to do in his story is up to him. I can be supportive of that. But when I took that energy away, and again, I had to do this more in retrospect, was to say, I've been putting a lot of energy toward this wound, this issue. I'm going to put this toward my own healing and becoming whole myself. And it is a little bit of a scary place for a lot of women, because one of the ways we move is towards control, which is sort of the negative word. But it can also be a way for us to feel regulated. I'm going to help manage his issues, the family's issues, the social awareness of what's going on. And that somehow helps us feel like things are okay. But one of my other stories in becoming safe is that I had disordered eating, an eating disorder when I was younger that kind of followed me for many, many years. And I realized that was another way. Control is often a big way that people that have any form of addiction are trying to control what's outside of them. So connecting that back to what you were just saying, what I realized was that, and I had to sort of go outside of the circles of my particular faith for a time in some of the books that I wouldn't have read or people I wouldn't have listened to, because I was not getting a lot of help from, at first, at least, there's so much more now, from some of the spiritual counselors or resources. And I had to weed through that. And that was something I wanted to be able to help women with, was to say, I've read the books, I've read the stuff that you might go, I don't want to read that one. You know, this person's coming from a Buddhist mind frame, but yet they seem to understand the nervous system. I don't want to dig into that. And I've listened to some of that and really seen what I call the true inerrant word of the Most High, which was spoken, right? The Hebrew word is debar. It's what he spoke in the beginning. Truth exists. And we have labeled it. And in even within Christianity, how many denominations do we have that label things differently? So when I began to see nature, the nervous system, horses, music, which is sound and vibration, and all of that was his voice, his word speaking. And I began to just, even recently, slow myself down more and say, can I see that perfect, beautiful word, that spoken word, which is creation all around me? And I have a feeling that that truth is right in front of my nose, and all the answers that I need are right there. And then from that lens, I can see the scriptures even differently, because I'm not coming from a doctrinal view trying to figure out what it means, but I'm coming from a, oh my gosh, wow, I'm looking around me and seeing creation, and then looking at this written word and going, I think I understand more what he's speaking to me about here. Like Psalm 119.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think some of the ways you mentioned about spiritual bypass, and also just the idea that we can get rigidly focused on a singular way of the way a person's going to be healed from certain things. But even if you think about in your own story, you know, you went for quite some years thinking that because you did a particular lane of healing, which was the cognitive, mm-hmm. that you had addressed the entire problem. When yeah. in fact, God years later was saying, you know what? This particular collection of events that are going to happen in your life are going to break open afresh a new part of your being that you have not fully explored in terms of what needs healing. And I think there are many women, many wives who've experienced the layers of the betrayal trauma that are going to really resonate with what you're saying now, because they've done some of the talk therapy. They've done some of the spiritual disciplines, and they're confused and they're frustrated because they're going, there's something still gnawing away at my soul. There's something that still feels very I feel very alone and afraid in certain areas. I still feel like there's grieving yet to be done, but I don't know how to do it. So as we kind of spend a few more minutes wrapping up here, share a little bit about how you help women become safe in this process of healing, and what is the hopeful message for a woman who's out there that's going, I do still feel like there's more layers to this, but I don't know where to go or whether or not there can truly be full healing in my trauma.
Yeah. I think, and if any woman that's listening to me right now and men that have gone through trauma, you are not broken. That was a huge shift for me when I realized that actually, even all that, those symptoms we talked about from my story, was the perfect design of my creator working to alert me that there, like you said, that there was another layer. And then I was able to look back into my time of during that marriage where I think, oh my gosh, I felt like this then. And I just did something to feel better and move on. But when we can look at that and say, wait a minute, I'm not broken. I'm functioning exactly the way I was designed. And this nervous system, this body, working with my mind and my spiritual connection is saying, time to heal, time to go deeper. Maybe if you've done some of that healing. And one of my questions in that moment in 2021 is I said, why now? I'm happy. Life is good. Why now? And I felt that voice say, you weren't ready. That was the before. You couldn't have handled it. And I thought, oh gosh, because you know, coming out of a 20-year marriage from that time of really being with someone from the time I was 16 till 38, and then being a single mom, I have three daughters, and then remarrying with a man that had three children himself and blending a family and moving and starting to provide for myself again, there was no room in the middle of that to deal with this. So when it came up at that time, I feel like the Holy Spirit was saying, you're ready to go a little bit deeper. And so that concept of safe started to come up for me. And I thought, how can I bring that safety? And as I shared already, starting to add some of those pieces to bring about that own body felt sense of safety. That concept will show up a lot when you dig into trauma healing, right? Not just knowing. You can't think yourself into feeling a certain way. They are connected, and the thoughts absolutely impact our body, just like our body impacts our thoughts. However, we can address those. So the way that I stepped into that was realizing that I had been using songwriting and I could offer those songs to women, but I didn't. I wanted to release them in a way that they could feel, get the story and hear what was going on behind that. And so I put together through those few years, this platform called Becoming Safe. And really what becoming safe means is regulation. Can we become safe inside? Can I begin to feel safe in my own body? Picture that horse that's freaking out because something's going on. It doesn't even feel safe in its own skin. It wants to run away or kick or yell for its friends that are far away. That horse doesn't feel safe. But when they do, they're grazing, they're relaxing, they're letting us just brush and pet them. Can we become that inside? Because safety, sometimes we hear playing it safe, totally different concept. Or I need to be safe from something. That is key too. If we're in an abusive situation, we need to become safe from that. The goal is to become safe too. And what I mean in that, and this is my hope, this is the hope that I hold out, is when we become well, which we can, we recognize I'm not broken, I'm functioning exactly the way I was designed, my nervous system is alerting me that I need safety and I need support. I can begin to employ these things and I can become safe so that I can show up in this world as a mom, as a wife. If my relationship, that, you know, many of us have gone through betrayal in our marriage. Some of these marriages end in divorce, but many are healed. But if we're not well, ladies, if we don't heal inside, we're not going to be able to show up for any of that stuff. And that was the big wake up for me when before went through my divorce, was I was so dysregulated and so, I want to use the word broken. I felt so broken. I had no resources at the time. I felt very unsafe and I did not have support. And I realized I can't even be the mom that I want to be, much less the wife. And I had to get well. And each one of our stories is going to be different. and the timeline and the unfolding. But the hope is that you absolutely can be well. You can have safety inside and you can bring in support. And that is really key. And whether you do that through what I'm offering with Becoming Safe, there's so many offerings out there now. But I would encourage you, take some of that energy that you're pouring into trying to make the world around you, speaking to myself too, feel okay. And pour that into being really good here and here inside yourself so that you can show up in this world with all the gifts, all the callings, all the joy, and all the delight of who you are as a woman, as a person, and be able to fulfill what you were put here for.
That's so good. So, Stacey, where can our listeners and viewers go to learn more about what you are doing?
The simplest thing is becomingsafe.com, and that link should take you right to a landing page that will tell you more about what Becoming Safe is. And you can join that course. And that is set up as pay what you want. And I did that purposefully. As you learn to create courses, they kind of teach you all the things like, oh, you can put limited time and get people really motivated to buy, which is fine. However, I was like, that's sort of trauma. You're inducing that. I thought, I can't do that in a platform where we're trying to bring restoration and healing. So that's what I felt from the Holy Spirit felt really good to me was, I wanted people to be able to join in no matter where their financial place is. So just so you know, when you go on there, when you come to the bottom to join, it is absolutely pay what you want. And you have lifetime access to everything there. You can also go to my main website, which is onpurposeinternational.org. And that links to all the different things I do. But on Becoming Safe, I'll just walk you through really quick what you're going to find. The first part is dives right into what is regulation, what does safety feel like, and gives you some core understanding how the brain works when you're in your survival brain. And that's when you're thinking, am I safe? Or in the emotional brain saying, am I loved? Or are you in that cognitive brain where you can learn? Like we said on that 10-point scale, if I'm in a stress response or a trauma response, I'm only going to run patterns. And that's why we repeat these same hurts over and over. So the goal is to have some regulation so we can learn, because until we can learn, we can't get well. And then we go into the stories, what I call my four big stories, and I connect those to what might connect in someone's life, a real traumatic event that anybody would recognize, my childhood issues, my parents were divorced when I was four, my marriage and betrayal story, and then even my eating disorder, I go into that. And then all the songs. And in the songs, mm-hmm. you have an MP3, you have a live version, you have a video with the story behind the song, and then another transformational tool with every song that connects sort of the meaning and the feeling of that song with something, a tool you can add to your tool belt. So you can begin to practice feeling safe, feeling regulated. And then the last section is all ongoing resources. So podcasts like this, books that I've read, where I link up all the stuff that I've been doing for the past now 3 years, whenever this airs, however long it might be from 2021, all the stuff that I felt like was really helpful on my healing path. And I put that there and I update it all the time. So that's what they'll find on the course itself. And for women, men are welcome to join Becoming Safe. It's really geared for women. But for the women only, we do have a private Facebook page because support is really helpful to be able to share your stories with other women. Relational wounds are really what betrayal trauma is. And so we do heal in the context of relationship too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is so good. And Stacey, thank you again for sharing your story and for being on the program today.
I so appreciate you having me here. And my hope is just that I reach the heart of women who need some safety and support, and that they'll feel like they're not alone and they'll know that they're not crazy.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, listeners and viewers, we are going to put a lot of information in the show notes. Please take your next best step. That's what we're here for, is to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. And Stacey's shared some really good resources to help you do that. Don't stay hidden. Don't stay in the dark. Don't stay alone on this journey. So please reach out to us for help. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.